The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. From the Gospel for this day, St. Matthew chapter 9, verses 4 and 5. But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven, or to say arise and walk?" And from the epistle for this day, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26 and 27, in the translation of the New English Bible. "If you are angry, do not let your anger lead you into sin. Do not let sunset find you still nursing it. Leave no loophole for the devil." During this past week, some words from the 74th Psalm have kept coming to mind. And the words are these: "The dark places of the earth are full of the habitations of cruelty." The dark places of the earth are full of the habitations of cruelty. We don't know what circumstances led the psalmist to speak these words. But we do know the circumstances of this dark and difficult hour. What we see in the world today is the terrible outcome of many generations of selfishness and hatred and cruelty. St. Paul put it plainly, "The wages of sin is death." The wages of sin is death. In the Gospel read on this Lord's Day, Jesus heals a paralyzed man. But Jesus sees in this paralytic not only the paralysis of this poor man's body, he also sees the deeper paralysis of sin. Perhaps this paralyzed man was resentful because of his condition. Perhaps he doubted God's love for him. Perhaps he doubted God's mercy, because in ancient times any sickness was so often misunderstood as a direct punishment for some sin. Jesus sees the deeper problem, and so before healing this poor man, immediately says to him, "Son, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven." And when, in the silence of their hearts, Jesus' enemies accuse him of blasphemy, Jesus, knowing their hearts, asks, "Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven, or to say arise and walk?" Well, in the light of common sense, it's of course easier say your sins are forgiven, because there's no way to prove that this has in fact taken place, whereas the claim to heal can be easily tested by anyone. And so in his compassion, and to show beyond a shadow of a doubt that he does in fact have authority to forgive sins, Jesus then says, "Rise, take up your bed and go home. And the paralytic gets up and goes home. Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven, or to say rise and walk? Appearances to the contrary, it was a far harder thing to say your sins are forgiven, because the cost of that forgiveness was the death on the cross of God's only and eternal Son. As we sing in the children's Lenten hymn, there was none other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. And the hymn goes on to say, oh, dearly, dearly has he loved, and we must love him too and trust in his redeeming blood and try his works to do. And try his works to do. Remembering how much it cost our Savior, how then can we refuse to forgive those who, like us, are but poor sinners, together with us, in need of forgiveness? Of course, we all know how hard that can be. If, for example, you've ever suffered at the hands of someone who is a vicious gossip, has made up stories about you. If you'd had a false friend who's betrayed a confidence, or a person who's harmed someone you deeply love, you know how hard it is to forgive and how easy it is to become resentful and embittered, perhaps for a very long time. For when we've been wronged, humiliated, hurt, what comes naturally to us is not forgiveness, but hate. But that's the devil's game, as we heard in the epistle read just a few moments ago, where St. Paul says, if you're angry, do not let anger lead you into sin. Do not let sunset find you still nursing it. Leave no loophole for the devil. The devil, who wants nothing more than to imprison you in bitterness and resentment. Bitterness, resentment, the desire to get even, are in fact a kind of paralysis of the will, as anybody knows who's been in the grip of resentment and can't manage to free himself of it. So what to do if you are in fact having great difficulty in forgiving someone? Here are three things. One thing is this. Picture in your mind the Savior nailed to the cross and praying, Father, forgive them. And then picture yourself and the person who's offended you standing beneath the cross on either side of the crucified Savior. Under the cross, we are all nothing but sinners in need of mercy. Second, examine your own conscience carefully, fearlessly, because then you will see the debt you owe God, how completely dependent you are on his mercy. And then confess your sin to your heavenly Father And if your conscience continues to trouble you, there is the word of preaching of the gospel. There is the sacrament of our Lord's body and blood. There's also the remedy of private confession in the presence of the pastor, your own pastor, or perhaps another pastor. Remembering the teaching of the catechism, confession embraces two parts. One is that we confess our sins. The other is that we receive absolution or forgiveness from the pastor as from God himself. And in no way doubt, but firmly believe that by it our sins are forgiven before God in heaven. As an old friend of mine never tires of saying, in confession, we learn not so much how sinful we are as how forgiven we are. Not so much how sinful we are as how forgiven we are. And third, keep praying for the person who's offended you. Just as the Lord Jesus says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Pray that God would bless that person, giving that person whatever it is that they need, relief from whatever grieves them. And above all, pray that God may forgive them for whatever harm they may have done to you. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Amen.